keep telling people I'm for real.
Oh,
I'm as real. Welcome to Outside the Pizza Box. That must mean you're listening to Civic Media Radio and live out of Solidarity Realty Studio. The sign nice. Up for them yet or not?
The sign's coming. I ordered it, so it's coming soon.
Well, along with my age and illnesses, I've learned to try and slow down and speak sometimes. Because, you know, hey, we got an hour, right? I want to again. Because there just isn't enough time to talk about all the things going on in the world. But, you know, last Saturday was a tough day. Boy, I'll tell you. I forgot to say 92.7 FM or not. See, I'm already shook up. Because
okay.
I got up Saturday morning and I saw there was a call in the middle of the night, three times, same number, Colorado. Yeah. Oh, no. And I'm like, geez, man. You know, so I called and got word that my brother Bob Dickman had passed on Friday night, December 30th. And so I'm dedicating this show to him because, you know, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be here and I'd be maybe a fraction of the person I am today if I had not had him as an older brother and a best friend growing up all the way through high school. He's a year and a half older, but I was, you know, a year behind him in school, okay? And, you know, the first thing I thought of last week, and I told you when I got here, but I, you know, I called a couple family members and let them know, and I said, please don't tell mom yet because, you know, my nephew, her grandson and great-grandchildren and, you know, my, the whole family, the five of them, the three kids, and they're coming, and I let him know, and I said, let's just not, yeah, this just wouldn't be the right times, right? Let's just wait and have this get together for Christmas. I'd have to cancel it, right? It just couldn't, my mom was just getting up, you know, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I got to go do this radio show, and I'm going to have to cart mental, right? I just got to put them in different compartments here. Because this is just, and even though, you know, my brother was, you know, struggled with Alzheimer's for like 12 years, man. He's just so physically strong. And I'm just going to tell you, he deserved a lot more. But I it's more about celebrating, you know. And I can talk about what else, you know. But we talked about that last week that, you know, it's never easy to lose someone that you love. But always at the holiday times. But the worst part, Jason, was me having to inform my mom that she just lost a second son 3 years to the day on December 30th. My brother Steve, my youngest brother, he passed away on that in 2019. And before that, it was 2015, my dad. And now it's like 3/5 of the men in our immediate family are gone and missed terribly. And my other brother doesn't talk to me. But, you know, people handle death in a different way, and ever since my dad died, a lot of people, you know, to avoid pain or to avoid any conflict, you know, hard feelings of whatever past we had. But that's what I loved about my brother Bob the most. And you know, I could have let him down a million times, but he never gave up on me, you know, in anything that I did. I'm gonna tell you right now, compared to when we were kids, all right. He was small. He was just a little guy, and he went on to be, you know, a state champion in wrestling and All-American in high school and college and in the Indiana State University Hall of Fame. One of these friends of mine that was a wrestler, immediately after we shared the news, you know, he sends out an article about, you know, my brother Bob and that none of these other, and I'm going to tell you right now, I had some bitter ass feelings towards the University of Wisconsin not giving my brother or offering him a scholarship to, I mean, come on, he took third at state twice and first his junior year and his senior year after winning, like, I don't know, must have been 61 matches in a row or something like that. Wow. He got upset, right? Now, I will say that was the year, my junior year, you know, I was pretty good too, see? And people think, well, you know, listen, I wrestled my brother for 10 years from like second grade on, right?
A couple of little scrappy guys going at it.
No, One really scrappy, tough guy, and one pudgy, you know, kind of whiny, wimpy at times.
Come on.
Well, I was a year and a half behind him. Come on. And I was chubby.
You
right?
Still, yeah, but you but still listen, had that inside look, scrap. That
no, there was something
scrap,
about yeah. my brother from day one, okay? He didn't, I never saw him cry, you know, as a child, but maybe, you know, once or twice, and I'll tell you how that happened. But we were like, I don't know, we must have been in second and third grade, and we moved to this house in the country. And by the way, if anybody's listening, that was a teammate of my brother's or a classmate that's listening, feel free to call in and share, interrupt me at any time and share a memory. 844-967-2789. We're going to have a celebration for him in the summer when people can come. But yeah. That was one of the things right away that got my mom and I through. Is, you couldn't say a bad thing about your brother. Now, your little brother, we already know about that.
Yeah.
So we moved to this place called Hill Street. Okay, but it's out in the country and it's not a real long road. But it's all farms back when you still find arrowheads in the dirt on these, you know, where they dug out the road. Years ago on these hillsides, there weren't any houses out there yet. It was just a couple. And so the driveway going up the hill, you get to the bend, and then from the bend to the house where the garage was, and we didn't put cars in the garage, but we needed spaces to park two cars. 8 people in the family at this point. And so he's out there with a pickaxe, you know, and he's hitting this dirt, and we're, you know, digging it out, and it's like 3 feet, I think, though, because it was about as tall as he was that we had to dig down, all the way down, and I, you know, my dad did too, but when it was us, just, you know, my dad was working in the summertime as a principal, even, he did all kinds of stuff to help people, right, he was, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. My mom took care of us, and she was a teacher. Yeah, those teachers get the summer off, right? Yeah, okay, well. We didn't really have the summer off. So Bob's pickaxing this and using a shovel and putting it, and I'm out there with him, but I'm, you know, not doing a whole lot. Yeah, way to go. You're doing a really good job. And so the wheelbarrow's got a flat tire, and it's got to be pushed uphill, and there's this mound already started, and yeah, that's where that's going, right? And he's not very tall. He'd bed down. And he'd grab the handles of the wheelbarrow, and then he'd straighten up like this, and he'd just start pushing that thing, trudging up the hill. You'd think I'd get behind and push more, but no, I was just in awe. Watching. Look at this guy. He's just like, he's like an ant. He's not going to stop. He's taking 100 times his weight, and he's just going to keep doing it. Well, that's what made him into what he is. I mean, you'd see him, you know, as we started getting older, well, I should say in grade school, he was already defending, you know, this one kid that was being picked on by the playground, right? He was a big kid, right? He was a farm kid, and a lot of kids used to pick on kids if they, you know, if they had dirt on. A lot of these kids were doing chores, right? Now, I'm friends with a lot of farm kids, and I never said, hey, man, you smell. I like the smell of silage and the cow barn and everything, because we worked on them, you know, as kids. But, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. But anyway, by the time he's in second, third grade, he's teaming up with this guy. And I remember watching him, you know, I'm like, geez, you know, my brother's on top of this guy's shoulders, right? And I mean, they're fighting the whole, I mean, it was like a fight. And they beat the hell out of all these kids that were being mean to him. And that, I'm going to tell you, that was the end of it, pretty much. Hmm. You know, my brother being second grade, I remember he's fighting a kid in fifth grade. And that was one of the times he cried. And again, the 2 times that he cried like this was because he wanted to hit the guy that he was fighting so bad, but the fight got broken up. Now, if my brother wanted to hit you, I'm telling you, you had it coming. It must have meant you swung at him. You did, because he just didn't do that. He was the opposite of me in the terms that he was very intrinsic. He didn't wear his heart on his sleeve. He's the hardest working guy. And, you know, he might, you know, mumble under his breath a little bit. But he couldn't beat this kid up, and they broke it up. And he's like, it sounded like a cat with a, like, not a real bad fur ball. It wasn't real deep or anything. It wasn't like, whoa. It was just, and then, the other time was one time I was in a fight with him, and we're at the, like, the middle landing, and he's beating me up. And I'm yelling for my dad, Dad, Dad. And Dad turns on the light, and I popped my brother and ran to the top of the steps and kind of like grabbed my dad's leg, and he's down at the bottom going, see, same thing. It was, wasn't that I hurt him. It was the fact that I gave him a cheap shot, and he wasn't going to get to pay me back. But he got me back many times.
Oh, yeah. They'll get you back.
We still got along. I mean, yeah. It's like, here, you're watching this guy your whole life. He wasn't mean to people, right? And we had horses and stuff where... And like, there was no horses that, you know, nipped at him or, you know, didn't like him or nothing. It, you know, their ears perked up and he took charge, man. But he was like unafraid. He never afraid. And it wasn't because he was like overconfident. It's just like, he's just not afraid. I'm going to do this. And the less you are afraid, as he proved to everybody over the years, the more likely you are to succeed and not have any, you know, major setbacks.
And make better decisions, right?
Yeah.
People make a lot of bad decisions when they're afraid.
Well, you know, my freshman year, he's a sophomore. He separates my shoulder. I'm gone that year, right? Junior year, I was getting tough now. I'm a junior now. I'm tough. Okay. Sophomore year, I did well. I placed at tournaments that, you know, that were big tournaments because a lot of the better guys met up with each other too soon and knocked each other out. And I got fourth place at like this Badger State as a sophomore. And I was not the best. I was not in the top four in that class. I guarantee you.
Well, you're a very self-aware guy. So I
well, by the time I got to be a junior and, you know, I'm wrestling tournaments in the summer and I ran track and cross country too. No, I went to state in three sports. I never had it. I underachieved. I told you. Because each time I went to, you know, something went wrong at these meets. Well, except for the cross country one, because I wasn't the best guy there. We had classmates of my brother, Dave Dougal and Brian Peterson. Great teammates, right? Great classmates. We're almost to a break.
Sorry, I was getting wrapped up in the conversation.
Yeah,
gotta go, man. Sorry.
We'll keep it going.
We'll be back.
What do we got for a song?
We
got
to go. Oh. Be back right after this.
Was fried.
This, by the way, Monday, by the time I got my lonely time, this is the song I used to come apart, thinking about my brother. And I did. Long enough to know that he knew I loved him, and I knew he loved me, man. But by the time we got to junior high, he's like not enough weight for the lightest weight class that they have at junior high, right? So he's like, I don't know, he was probably 7-8 pounds under. And that's a lot when you're wrestling in the 70-pound area, right? But this is where it just all started. You see him. We used to do, and Stoughton is really good in wrestling, man. 2 silver Olympic medalists. Like, hey, we're first in state champs, really close with Mineral Point, one of our nemesises and good friends now that we're done warring with him and stuff. But anyway... we started this thing. Okay, the lightest guy goes out, and then the second lightest guy, and they go for takedowns, and then you just keep going takedowns till somebody beats you. Well, my brother Bob was going through like 6, 7, 8 guys till they got so big he couldn't really take them down, and that was the end of that. And from that point on, it was on. This guy's special, right? You know, and by the time he's a sophomore and he finishes third at state, he's traveling all over the country. My dad's taking him to all these tournaments and stuff. And it's just, he's the hardware, the hardware this guy had. And he was very humble. That's one thing I want people to know right away was when he did lose, which was like, you know, we go, oh God, he lost. Who was that guy? You know? And it doesn't happen very often, and it didn't, but you're just like, he took it like a man, you know, he didn't cry, you know, he, one time he, you know, when he got beat his senior year, he just kind of, I saw him, his head was kind of lowered a little bit, and he was shaking his head and, you know, shook hands with the guy. And the next two guys that he had to wrestle to get third place, they were guys that he wrestled, you know, really close in matches over a couple of years, you know, one at one point matches and over, and he just beat the snot out of those guys because all the pressure was gone. You know, for 2 years, there was a lot of pressure. Once he won as a junior, and you know, it was on. You going to tell me who's calling? Because I don't have my screen up.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's probably my fault, man.
We got Mark first.
All right, cool. Give it up.
How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys again. I've been kind of out of circulation.
Well, I noticed that. I was just thinking, well, he must be, you know, maybe he's doing what I had to do, meditating. We talked about that last week, and I had to meditate all the way through this. Go ahead, man.
Well, I had some surgery on December 1st, so, you know, they went in and took care of my liver, and things look good now, but it's going to be a while, and getting my strength back, and it just... But you know the drill there.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I've been kind of lucky, you know, over the last couple of years, actually.
Yeah, so I got, you know, back to the old routine of every 3 months going for a scan now, but that's the way it goes. I mean, that you just got to, you know, that you just got to hang in there and take care of your brothers and sisters out there that are, you know, still struggling with everything else.
Well, I had a chance to do that today. I mean, I'm sitting in my car and I'm off the square, and here comes a gal that I didn't recognize her right away, and she knocked on the window, and I'm like, oh my, you know, she lived at the YWCA, and when I was working down there, I'd see her all the time, and she had mental health issues, and you know, I didn't care. She's a really sweet person. And so I see her today, and I'm like, oh, my God, she looked fantastic. I'm like, you look great. I'm like, and she was just, can I sit in the car and talk? And I'm like, yeah. So we sat and talked, and she's got an apartment, and she wants me to, you know, stop in, see her from time to time, whatever. And I knew she needed, you know, so I was able to give her a little bit of money, you know. But, you know, I love her. Her name's Amy, and I don't know if she's listening, but it was really cool seeing her today. So yeah, giving is better than receiving in my world.
Yep, and I can't say enough for all the people down at UW Cancer that that the whole team is just a bunch of angels.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I've never had a bad experience, and the thing that I like to do, Mark, when I go in there is the same thing I used to do for my older brother, which was to make him laugh, and I continued to do that all the way through our life, and that's the one thing that couldn't, you know, you just couldn't separate us completely, because every time I saw him, he knew that I was happy to see him.
Yeah, it's just great. I mean, one of my doctors was pumping me for hunting information on one of the little bird hunting places I go, and he was really appreciative of that, and we were swapping hunting stories, but just the whole team there is just fantastic.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and I'm glad you're back, and you know, I'm wishing you to get well and strong. I'm pretty sure you will, man. Because, yeah, I've been there. You sound good. And that's all we can do. You know, I get up, and I hate to say this, but, you know, after my mom and I talked for a while, I looked at her and I said, "Jeez, Mom, I hope I don't die before you." And, you know, I think she feels the same way. Three sons would be a little bit too much. Hard break, man. We'll be back in just a little bit. Play it up, man. Some of this music, this is like Brothers Johnson, man. Strawberry Letter 22 is like one of the albums my brother turned me on to. It's another one from the past. The Ohio player's jive turkey. It starts out, backbone gone. He can't do nothing. And you're like, what is that all about? I mean, his backbone's gone. We're wrestlers. You got to have a backbone. I really think the reason why my brother lost his senior year was because he broke my damn hand during the, you know, kind of early part of the year. And I came back and I won conference, you know, and I made it to sectionals. And then I, you know, got beat by the guy that took second at state and another guy that I should have never, ever lost to. I needed more confidence. But I think because I was out all that time, yeah, I didn't get to push him and I didn't make it to state that year. And if I'd have been there, he would have lost. He would have lost. And I think I would have placed. But anyway, that's just me. Andy, what do you think? You think I would have won?
Oh, man, you would have been a winner from the start. You'd have been great. But I just wanted to offer my condolences. I mean, it's never easy losing a guy that you love-hate relationship. But, you know, you always looked up to
him. Oh, I never hated him. Never. I used never. To. No. Once in a while, I was a little envious, but not hateful. No. It never got to that point. Even when he broke my nose in a fight, I had it coming. Shouldn't have been drinking. Stickmans weren't very good at drinking. And I will say this, Andy, by the time we got into high school, because he was 112 pounds and I was 119 pounds when he was a senior, our last name, Dickman, and my dad's name was Dick. They used to call my brother Little Dick. Well, you know what they called me. Yeah. You know what they called me, right? Okay. Anything else, my man?
Well, I just... glad to hear that Mark's back. I thought there was something wrong because.
Well, I thought he might have been mad at me. I don't know. So yeah, I've made a lot of people mad.
Well, I don't know, but you're a good guy, and I got a brother that's suffering from the hurricane back in September, and he's not eating right, you know, and so forth. He's younger than I am, and you know, when somebody's, you know, when you have a brother or whatever, it's always tough to whether you're trying to help through a tough time or whether you lose them, you know, it's rough, but you're holding up strong. Good music today too, by the way.
Oh, always, man. Well, you know, yeah. Hey, classic. Thanks, Andy. I went through my morning. I'll cry many more times. I cry about my brother Steve. I miss my dad. Necessarily, I don't cry when I think of my dad because, you know, he was 80. And at that point, you know, you think about all the good things. And, yeah, there's things where you're like, oh, I wish that my dad could have met his great-grandchildren from my son. Oh, my God, would he have loved that? They would have loved him. It would have been, and I feel the same way about, you know, selfishly at some points I'm thinking, you know, damn it, I was going to go fishing with them. You know, now that I got cancer, I can do things. Hey, you got to love America, right? Couldn't do that as a working man. Speaking of working man, let's go to Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
That it is.
It's nice to hear Mark. Yeah, it's nice to hear Mark's voice again.
Oh, yeah. We lose things and we gain things back. And we've been talking about all the special people that, you know, care about the world and everybody on the planet. And, you know, we're going to lose those people, but that's why we keep going.
Exactly. And all I'm going to say today is I'm sorry for your loss. Your brother, it sounds like he's a heck of a guy. And I learned at an early age, don't mess with a wrestler. You'll be in it's not legal in regular wrestling, but you'll end up in a full Nelson or a headlock or something.
Full Nelson's illegal, man. Full Nelson's illegal. Yeah, you know, you're talking high crotch, you know, headlocks, things like that. I'll go for that.
Yeah, but it's not illegal in the bar. I seen a good wrestler. I know him my whole life. This guy was lipping off in one of them 18-year-old bars, and he took him down in 10 seconds, and the guy was laying on the floor. So if you're smart, don't mess with a wrestler. And sorry for your loss, Mike, and have a great weekend.
Hey, you bet. And a shout out to you, Paul, for, you know, sending me that little message about how, you know, all the climatologists and scientists say we're going through a sixth extinction process right now. Hello. You know, we talk about that every week. It just doesn't seem to bother people. I'm like, we all got to go out and plant a couple trees this year. I mean, people have lost enough of them in their yards from the storms that we get now. So anyway, you know, it's just back to the, you know, the big brother and I think I talked about when we were in like second and third grade and our dad took us out, taught us how to pick night crawlers after the rain or after the watering, and we could sell these things a nickel a piece. And I mean, he was at that point, it was the same thing. He was like, you call these guys. So I'd have to call the bait shops. Man, yeah, I'm in like second and third and fourth grade all the way through the time that we did it. You know, I'd call and say, oh yeah, how many did you want? And all this, you know, I was more of the business guy. Really?
You were the business
manager? Oh yeah. Oh, I was okay. The business manager. Wow. No question. Whoa. About it. You know, I'd say the dad was the CEO, but he was like, you know, he was like Trump. He didn't take a dollar for it. Get it? Okay. You know, so thank him for all that. But I just the memories that I have going up north with our family, you know, and taking those night crawlers when we went up every year and going fishing and swimming. And my brother just could not be denied catching fish. I mean, he'd catch one fish and then a bigger one would try and catch the one that he was already bringing in.
Like be pulling in two on one.
I mean,
one
like
line here.
Well, yeah, wow, yeah, you know, 3 foot northerns and stuff. You know, oh, look, I think I'm gonna go over here because it looks like it's calm on this side. Next thing you know, he's like, oh, you know, and he'd go on these trips with. Now, my brother, when he was his professional career, after you know, he took seventh. Listen, they thought my brother was too small to wrestle in college, and that's just an insult. Are you kidding me? 112 in high school, that means, you know, he could weigh 120 at least, easy. And and he lifted weights, and he just, oh my God, you couldn't believe how huge and strong he got. And his first 2 years in college, he was like 19 and 10 and 19 and 11 and got beat the first round each time that he qualified for the NCAA tournament. But by the time he was a junior, he had to wrestle Barry Davis, who was like, I think, three-time national champ and second his freshman year, something ridiculous like that. And he came here to be the coach at Wisconsin. And I made a sandwich for him one day at Subway. I'm like, hey, man. I go, it was 6-6 going into the, he goes, yeah, you know, how is your brother Bobby? He goes, he really gave me a hard match. And I go, yeah, it was 6-6 going into the last period. And I said, I was yelling, you're stalling. And he goes, I heard you. Well, the whole place did because it was at Iowa and they just couldn't believe anybody was going to, you know, oh, could he get beat? Well, and then he had to wrestle a guy. Listen, they're ridiculous. Oh, he's too small. I watched a bronze medalist named Bob Weaver knock him back to seventh place that year. He looked like a little crab on top of him, breaking him and, you know, just outscored him and made him look, you know, like he, I couldn't believe it. I just could imagine what that guy would have done to me and what Rico would do to me if I didn't take his call any sooner. Here you come.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Not bad.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear about your brother.
Yep, thank you. And, I was ready, man.
Go ahead.
I was ready for it.
Yeah, that's I called you, you know, last week. First time I've ever called your show, and the whole show and conversation was just connecting with me. And I didn't know that about your brother then.
No, I couldn't let on, man. That's what I mean. I said, well, I'll talk about it next week. Because we touched on it.
Yeah. Remember I said I had one brother left.
Yes, I got one left, and he doesn't talk to me. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well.
I got my brother Mike left, and I lost two brothers actually at young ages, and it was just the whole conversation then today to find this out is like I knew when I was listening, something connected last weekend, and I had to pick the call phone up and give you a call. And do I have time for just a quick brother story?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It was 1972, 4th of July. My only brother living left, yes, was Mike. And he picked up in the kitchen and threw a 32-ounce Coke bottle at me. And back then, they were glass. And I ducked, luckily, and it hit the wall. But I looked at my brother and I said, man, this is different, dude. We'd have our fights and duke it out. But, I mean, you really meant to hurt me there, didn't you? And I commenced to put an ass whooping on him like I've never done before. And it was horrible. And I beat the daylights out of this dude. And you know what? It was 4th of July, like I said.
fireworks.
Right. Mom and Dad got home and looked at the two of us and said, we can't take you out in public. You realize this. So you guys got to stay home. You can't go to the fireworks with your other brothers. So me and my brother just standing there in that big plate glass front window, barely catching a glimpse every now and then above the trees of the tops of the fireworks. And so we said right there and there, man, we knew it, man. We ended up hugging. I says, we shouldn't do this to one another ever again. And it was only a few years later when I lost my first brother at 11 years old. He got hit by a car. And I remember when we had to bury him, my brother Mike and I said to each other, yep, this is a solemn vow. We will never lay a hand on each other because now we know what it's like to lose one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Thanks, I'm sorry. Man. Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that at an early age, which is, again, it's more tragic than anything is when children, especially, you know, the siblings and the parents have to live with that. But that, you know, that's what prepared me for all this, is that I know everybody's living and dying. That's what the whole world's about. I'm disappointed as hell that it ended for him that way, but not disappointed for the life that I had with him, and even at a distance, you know. He went on to be, you know, a prison guard. He was in, you know, criminology. And wow, you know, well, he's a serious guy, dude. He did not have sympathy for criminals. He might have some empathy, but he knew too much that everybody's innocent, right? So, you know, you just got to, hey, man, you're stuck here. You gotta worry about what you're going to do to get out. And that's what he did, you know, and he cared about the guys in a way that, you know, most or a lot of prison guards, you know, they're not so nice, right? They, you know, how do I know? Well, some of them were probably at January 6th, right? Now, I'm going to tell you that I may have disappointed my brother many times. I've disappointed myself throughout life. I don't, you know, I ain't going to cry over that stuff. But it was a few years back that, you know, since I got into, like, you know, social justice. Now, in a way, that's what he was, too, right? And then he became he's the administrator at Marathon County Jail until Scott Walker came and dinked him and his boss out of there, and they had to, like, retire early or not get anything. And that was when he started, you know, his Alzheimer's really kicked in right about then. You know, so I don't know if that was the... But, you know, screw you anyway, Walker. Who does that to somebody that's got about a year to go or whatever to get their full pension and they've done a good job, but you want to come in there and ruin everything? You know, why do Republicans think that I talk like this, okay? And for people that, you know, I there's a lot of people, friends, family, moved away from me a long time ago when I decided, hey, you know, I'm going to stand up for these other guys, and I don't care if you don't like my method. Look at their madness, okay? And you talk about being civil, and even though this is Civic Media Radio, there comes a time where you gotta punch the bully. Not literally, okay? You know, I'm just speaking in terms of what I started doing at the Capitol and how long I did it for. And my brother says to me, he goes, you know, I just want you to know that I'm really proud of you. I couldn't do the things that you do. And I go, nobody could do some of the things you did, but you know, and ever since then, any damage that we had in throughout our lifetime, any bad feeling, all gone, man. I'm like, I'm doing this for my brother, man. We'll be back. Another guy that went too soon, Marvin Gaye. My brother and I were aligned on social issues. He just handled it differently, right? Yeah, I tell you, I wear it out on my sleeve. But, you know, for all you people that may have loved my brother or had respect for him but didn't for me, well, he wouldn't like that too much. He liked me. You know, it's a shame because the things that I stand up for standing up for people that are, you know, impoverished, that are hammered by a racist system and doesn't bother people because it doesn't affect them, or, you know, they're racist themselves, or they just don't care. Even worse, you just don't care. At least the racist is identifying with their hateful bastard heart. Okay? What's wrong with the people's hearts that don't think like that? And so, you know, watching all this, oh, the Republicans can't find a leader. Well, they don't have any, clowns. Haven't you been watching? Really? So the concessions that McCarthy's making against Medicare and Social Security, well, it ain't going nowhere because, you know, we got a Senate and we got, you know, that probably aren't going to let, I don't know, maybe Joe Manchin will sell his ass out too, right?
Never know with him.
Well, he already has. I mean, you know what? These are rotten people. It doesn't matter if there's a D or an R next to their name, even though, come on, R stands for rotten to the core at this point. To the core. Head to tail. Like a decomposing carp on a beach. It just is. And, you know, talking about the environment again. But this clown show, and people were thinking it's funny, and, you know, I know if you, but it's like watching junior high student council at this point. Oh, wasn't that fun?
I mean,
while the rest, the problems that we have not being solved, never will be, because they don't want to solve them. It's more about, you know, creating a path for, you know, privilege and wealth, and it's embarrassing to be a human most days,
especially in this country in particular, you know, a bunch of the time, because it's just it's ridiculous, right? I mean, come on.
Hey, so we almost forgot Jeff's guitar clinic, man.
Oh, man. I don't have it queued up. I'm sorry.
That's all right. And I just want to share that he gave me some horrible news right now, that one of his dogs passed away this morning, and she was the sweetest, sweetest dog. And I babysat, and so I saw her not feeling well, and it broke my heart. It kind of, kind of took away from how it usually is when you go over and four dogs are all happy. And the other dogs knew she didn't feel well, and it was so sweet to watch them be nice to her and stuff. So that breaks my heart. But go to Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com. And, you know, really nice guy, man. But not only that, he can make your guitars better. Get you a new one. Give you some lessons, play some music when you need to get through the hard times like we all do. And get up and do it again the next day. Isn't it awful? And I didn't have to do anything for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, wow, I could really get used to this not doing anything. This is really cool. And I didn't count the show. People are like, well, you had to go do your, what? Man, who wouldn't want to? Yeah, it's like going to the Penny Arcade and pinballing people around, you know, that you don't want to. You want to let it be known. Get a radio show and do your homework and get involved and get in on the ground level. And you can have some fun, too. Oh, hey, look, you better take screen that call I see coming in. That's cool. Anybody wants to get a last word in? We got about 5 minutes, maybe less. 844-967-2789. Yeah, no, we don't follow in someone else's footsteps. As we find out later on in life, we take our own path, or at least we hope we do. We follow our own footsteps, or we create footsteps for our children and grandchildren to follow. Man. Oh, I know who it is. I'm going to Jake in Eureka, man, I was there for a little while, and I should have never come back. I could have just, oh, man. Mm.
Yeah, piece of ice with up.
Yeah, another day.
Hey, speaking about the Kevin McCarthy fiasco for the Republican Party, did you see the fight that almost broke out on the House floor?
Well, but yeah, I heard that it wasn't really an almost fight, and it was just another poop show from a bunch of poop clowns.
There's a Mike Rogers, a congressman from Alabama.
Yeah, well, you know, Alabama. Yeah, that state's doing really well. Has been since, like, you know, before they tried to end slavery.
When did Alabama end slavery, by the way?
Exactly. When did America, Jake? When did America end slavery or inequality or racism or how about the list goes on and on. And we can't even admit about how this country was founded, our real history. You know, that woke stuff they don't want you to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. They just don't want you to tell the truth is what it's really about.
Oh, well, it used to hurt when I was a liar, but not anymore. Anything else, Jake?
whatever you do, folks, do not vote Republican.
You know, friends don't let friends vote Republican. Good idea. We only got a minute left. Oh, wow. 2 minutes. Hey, I'm going to give you the last word, Gary. But you can leave the music on because, you know, this Teddy Pendergrass, another guy, my brother just loved his music. When someone loves you back, right, Gary?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful day. Hey, I just got a comment. Would you like America to be a socialist country? I mean, the way you guys talk, it sounds like socialism is the way to go rather than hardworking economic people that get up every day like at 5:30 and work until 7 o'clock at night like I do.
I got to stop you, Gary, because you know what? My brother and I are socialists. We believe in that the whole community should share the resources, not just a couple people at the top. And, you know, I guess people want to buy into that socialism stuff. I mean, you're into this corrupt capitalism and a clown government that we have says government is bad, yet they're the people that are supposed to be representing the government. Come on, Gary.
Isn't the capitalism and all the money at the top why people like Gary have to work 14 hours a day?
Yeah, you know what? Nobody works harder than people, socialists. I will tell you that right now. Social, like, have a clue when you get out into society, man. Society, social. Take care of society, man. That's what Jesus was about.
And that's about people.
Oh, and we're almost done, aren't we? Well, stay tuned. We'll be back next week. But Jason won't. We'll have Superstar Evan will be filling in. And you've been listening to Civic Media Radio and Outside the Pizza Box down here at Solidarity Realty Studio. 10 seconds left? Wow, see you next week. Thanks a lot, Jason.